Teachers, happy new school year and welcome to the season premiere of the This Teacher Life podcast. Over the past few years, we have released over 200 episodes that are full of classroom ideas, full of strategies to help with classroom management, and things that are just real and raw because as teachers, we understand that we have to have passion in this profession in order to keep going and making a huge impact on our students, on our schools, and on our learning communities. And that's exactly why this podcast exists. If you are finding the This Teacher Life podcast for the very first season, welcome. I have so many excellent episodes in store for you this year. If you are returning to the This Teacher Life podcast as a loyal listener, I cannot thank you enough for your support over the years. I think you are going to be just filled with joy and filled with enthusiasm as we cruise through this school year, because I've got some exciting things in store. Episodes where I'm just keeping it real, episodes where I am giving you the nitty gritty details of ideas that I've never talked about before, so you can implement these in your own classroom. Most importantly, you understand that as a fellow teacher, what you get with this podcast is just the realities of teaching, laced with humor, laced with sometimes tears, but it's real, it's raw, and hopefully super relatable. I cannot tell you how excited I am personally for this school year as a teacher, but how excited I am for you to be here listening. This episode is going to be incredibly special because we're kicking it off with a fire idea. In fact, this is actually a remix of the number one most downloaded episode in the This Teacher Life podcast history. We've been doing this podcast for like 6 years now, and this concept is something that teachers love. What is it? A stinking deck of Uno cards. Who knew that a deck of Uno cards was going to transform teaching like it has? Because so many of you, literally thousands of you, have tried this idea all across the United States and in multiple different countries, and you're like, that idea is flipping awesome. It worked. Students' behaviors were better. Classroom management was better. I got more work turned in, all from a deck of Uno cards. Now, here's the cool thing about this special episode. As I'm giving a brand new remix to this, never talked about this before, because it's actually with a unique deck of Uno cards called Uno Flip. And I just want to be honest, this idea is flipping awesome. So if you're not excited yet, get excited, because it's a new school year, it's a new season of the podcast, and I got new ideas for you. Let's get into this. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. I think it is absolutely fair to say that classroom management and behavior management has become the number one stressor for teachers. The reality is that kids have changed. Our society has evolved. The education system hasn't really evolved and changed at the rate at which the world has. And so, unfortunately, we're kind of stuck in systems where kids are like, this is stupid. Why do we need to do this? This is dumb. I can just ChatGPT this. I can just Google this. I can just look this up on my cell phone. This is not as interesting as TikTok, all of these things. And we can either get mad about it or we can do something about it. And I think as humans, we want to be motivated. As humans, we want to just naturally be like, this sounds great, I'll do it. This activity sounds cool, I'm in. This lesson is piquing my interest, tell me more. That would be awesome if we could just like, you know, connect with kids every single time and knock it out of the park 100% of our lessons. That's just not realistic. But what is realistic is if we can take some strategies that are fun, that are engaging, and can get kids actively participating and actively listening and leverage those for learning. And one of the things that kids love are competitions. We just naturally in human psychology like to win. We like that dopamine boost of like, woo, we did the best today, or like, yes, we're ahead of them. I think sometimes competition in schools gets a bad reputation because kids take it too far and students can get negative and nasty. But I think if this school year we put the correct structures and systems in place, we can take classroom competitions and pair that with classroom management and behavior management and truly use that as our UNO strategy for the whole year. See what I did there? We can use it as our number one or our UNO strategy for the whole year, because that's what we're going to talk about. This idea that I'm about to unfold is literally just using a deck of UNO cards. Now, if you are listening to this episode at the time that it airs live, it's late August. For some of us, we are just getting ready to start school. Some of us have been in for a week or two, and some of us are still a couple of weeks out. The good news about this idea is it doesn't matter when you're listening to it, you can literally implement it at the perfect time for you. So what my recommendation would be, and what I'm doing with students, is structuring September, a brand new competition in my classroom. For me, I've been in school now for a couple of weeks. We've got some routines, we've got the relationships flowing, and so now it's time to really hone in on what are my expectations. I have high standards. I believe we can have so much fun and you can also work so hard in my class and there can be a balance. And so what I want to do to roll that out and show kids that fun and rigor are possible at the same time is to have a sensational September competition using a deck of UNO cards. Now, if you teach in a middle school or high school setting, the competition is your class periods are competing against each other. So in other words, your first hour family, your second hour family, your third hour and fourth hour, all of your class periods are trying to get the most points, the highest points possible. Now, if you teach elementary students or you see the same kids all day long, what you can do is set a numeric goal for this competition. What's a reasonable number of points that my classroom can get if we are doing this competition for 1 month? And I'll give you some strategies and some samples about those numbers that are reasonable towards the end of the episode. But this is a classroom competition where you are choosing behaviors, you are choosing some sort of classroom management thing that is important to you. So let me ask you, what is important to you? What is something that if you're like, man, if for this school year, this behavior didn't exist, it would make things so much better? How can you de-stress your teacher life? What is something that is so freaking frustrating for you? And we can flip that, literally flip that. What is your thing? For me, organization is such a big deal at the beginning of the school year. It just is. Because I think disorganization is kind of the breeding ground for so many problems. Missing assignments is because of disorganization. Not coming to prepared for class is disorganization. I don't have a pencil. That's disorganization. I forgot my assignment in my locker. That's disorganization. Oh my gosh, I can't find my, you know, whatever, my science notes. That's disorganization. So for me, the thing that I want kids to master, to truly perfect in September to make it sensational, is organization. Maybe for you, it's something that you've struggled with in the past is participation. You'll ask a question and you'll get 2 out of the 26 kids in your class to raise your hand, and that's incredibly frustrating. You want 26 out of 26 kids to participate. You want 100% of students engaged on every single question. Maybe for you, it's a lack of respect. Maybe you're just kind of fed up with the language that exists in schools. Maybe the way that kids talk to each other these days is really bothering you because it's so negative and it's so nasty. Or maybe they talk to you with disrespect and it's like spicy. And you're like, why are you talking to me like that? That's just not okay. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter what you pick, but I want you to be incredibly strategic for how you can have a sensational September. But I also want to keep it simple. You might be like, girl, it's about organization and participation and disrespect. I hear you. I know. We could make a list of like 27 things that kids need to work on. Absolutely, we could. But Sensational September is about choosing one thing strategically and just absolutely knocking that out of the park. And then what we can do throughout the next months of the school year is habit stack. In other words, once we've established one habit, how can we then stack another positive habit on top of that? So maybe then by December, you are really crushing it on so many different behavior or classroom management areas. So step one is just establishing that one thing. The next step would be making sure that kids are aware of exactly what you mean by that expectation. So for example, for me, it's organization. What is the standard for my organization? Because if I just say to kids, I want you to be organized, my definition of organization and their definition of organization are likely very different. So am I being clear and consistent about what I mean by organization? What I would do is make sure that kids understand this is what I mean by organization. You have something to write with. I don't care if it's a pen. I don't care if it's a pencil. Honestly, I don't even care if it's like a stinking highlighter. I just want to be able to read what you got. So organization number one is that you have something to write with. Organization number two is that you have your binder. But I can't just have you have your binder. I spent a lot of time helping you guys in the first couple of weeks with school organizing those binders into folders. You got a math folder, you got a science folder, you got a social studies folder, you got an advisory folder, you got an essentials folder. If I were to open up your science folder, do I see math? If I were to open up your English folder, do I see social studies? So do you have your binder that you are actually utilizing the system and the structure that we put into place for all of your classes? Is that working? And do you actually have your assignments that you need for my class? Now, this school year, I'm exclusively the social and emotional learning teacher for the district. I'm going to talk more about that in an upcoming episode because some of you were like, what? When did that happen? Yes, I actually am in a new job description this year. So I am the K-12 SEL coach / classroom teacher for the entire school district. I still have classes that I teach, but it's kind of an interesting role. We'll talk more about that later. But so for me, for my class, I have an advisory folder for my middle school classes. They have an SEL folder for my instructional time. Do they have the materials in it that they need? That's what organization is for me. Something to write with. You have your binder and your folder system is set up so that you can utilize the resources that you need. Now, we're a one-to-one school. We got technology. Notice that I didn't say a charged Chromebook, because to me, that's a different behavior. Notice that I didn't say that you are participating in every single question that I ask. That is so important to me. But right now, I'm focused on the one thing. So I picked the one thing. I was very clear and very consistent with the kids about what that one thing means in my classroom, my definition of organization, and I'm also posting that. So it is just a visual reminder of here's what I mean. So now that I have that outlined, now is where it gets really good. Because I'm going to have each one of my class periods pick a team name. This is a competition. In a competition, we got teams. And it's real fun if you got a team name. So my students picked team names. And because all of my classes this year are middle school classes within the junior high / high school SEL block, you'll never guess what all of the team names ended up being. They could be anything with the disclaimer that it had to be school appropriate. But because you ask 12 to 14-year-olds what they want their team names to be, they end up being things like Baja Blast and Code Red and Livewire and Bubblicious Strawberry Splash. What are all of those? Drinks. It became a drinks thing. It didn't have to become a drinks thing, but this is just what naturally happened. Specifically, it became Mountain Dew themed. Like, they're like, yeah, let's do Baja Blast. That's the GOAT. It's the greatest of all time. They're like, no, dude, let's have Livewire. Let's have Code Red. Literally, all of the team names posted are Mountain Dew flavors. Was I good with that? Well, heck yeah, I was good with it because the kids got really into it. They were so excited. It's a school-appropriate drink. I don't want them drinking that for breakfast, but if they do, that is not within my realm of control. But were the kids excited about these names? Absolutely. And you know what that's going to create? Buy-in. Because I think so much of classroom culture is about buy-in. As teachers, we are literally salespeople. Do we realize that? You're like, oh, I would never be good at sales. Yeah, we sell every day. We are trying to sell concepts, sell lessons, sell ideas, sell curriculum standards. Like, we are just trying to make sure that kids are buying into things and listening so that they can learn and grow and thrive in life. We're salespeople. So if they're going to be excited about this competition because it's now connected to Mountain Dew, what a win. And then the Uno cards come into play. What do the Uno cards actually do? Well, for September, for sensational September, September has a lot of letters in the word. How do we spell September? S-E-P-T. I can never get this one right. September. S-E-P-T. T-E-M-B-E-R. Hell, I'm never going to win a spelling bee. If I was ever in a spelling bee, they'd be like, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. And I'd be out of the spelling bee in the first round. So you know what I did? Made it shorter. S-E-P-T. I'm pretty sure that's the abbreviation for September. It might not be, but that's what I'm doing. So September has four letters in it for the abbreviation, S-E-P-T. And I'm posting those four letters on my whiteboard. Or you can use a chalkboard or a smartboard. As long as the kids aren't bored, we don't care. Oh man, the puns. The puns are coming out hot this season. Just be prepared, okay? I don't want you to feel punished by my humor, but the puns, they're coming in hot this year. Nonetheless, September, S-E-P-T. I wrote the abbreviation for September on my whiteboard. At the beginning of the class period, I am going to take that deck of Uno cards. I'm going to shuffle them up, and I'm randomly going to draw one student's popsicle stick that already has their name on it, that already has their nickname on it, which is an excellent strategy that you probably have read about in my book, Game Changers. But I'm pulling a popsicle stick and I'm saying to a student, pick a number between 1 and 10. And then they're picking a card. Number between 1 and 10. They're like, 8. So then I shuffle out 8 cards. And after I've shuffled out 8 cards, I pull the next 4 cards. I put one of the cards under the S, one of the cards under the E, one of the cards under the P, one of the cards under the T. And those cards sit there. Those Uno cards sit there for the class period. Now, what happens at the end of the class period? Well, we're going to get into that here in 1 second. Recently, there was a review left on the This Teacher Life podcast, and the teacher gave it 5 stars and said, "Teacher Rescue." Monica is just the remedy I've been looking for. After 24 years of teaching, I thought I had all the tools I needed to be a good teacher. However, Monica's innovations of lessons and ideas has put a spark back into my teaching and giving me so much to consider. The idea that they're going to be awesome in every single school day sometimes seems overwhelming, but with her spirit and genuine enthusiasm, it gives me courage to keep going. Thank you for that 5-star written review, and thank you for being the listener of the week. It's reviews like that that actually push this podcast out to more people, more listeners, more platforms, and gets this audio and gets these ideas into the hearts and into the heads of teachers. If you haven't already left a written review, make sure you're hitting pause right now and just doing a quick 10-15 second written review. It would mean so much to me. And then maybe in the future, you could be featured as the listener of the week. I want to thank you so much for leaving that 5-star review. And I am confident that there's going to be so much awesome in your school year for 180 days of this entire school year. Again, if you haven't left a written review, be sure to do that in the podcast platform that you are currently listening in. That way we can spread the teacher love. So those 4 Uno cards are just sitting there for the entire class period. Why? Because I want to make sure we're doing exactly what we said we were going to do, which is stay organized. For you, it's that 100% of students stay engaged. It's that 100% of students are being respectful. So the kids see those cards right there. And if you're using a normal Uno deck, then they're seeing the word Uno right there. They don't know what's behind the Uno cards. But for Sensational September and for this school year, guess what? I'm using a different type of Uno card. What type of Uno card am I using? It's called Uno Flip. On one side is the standard Uno deck. Red, yellow, green, blue, the wilds, the skips, the reverse. You know the game, the classic game. But Uno now has a deck of cards called Uno Flip, where there's the normal side or there's the dark side. And on the dark side, it's a completely separate deck of Uno cards. It's orange, pink, purple, and teal. And there are now special things. There are now draw 5 cards. There are now special Uno stacking cards. There are special cards that are completely different, but at the same time, totally still fun and festive, like the normal game of Uno. So if you are using that style of Uno card, if you're using Uno flip cards, this is even more exciting because kids are able to see a numeric value on the card. They might see that under the S is a 2. Under the E is an 8. Under the P might be a wild. And under the T might be a reverse. So then what happens? At the end of the class period, what I do is I reserve about 2 to 3 minutes every single day for the month of September in order to make sure that we've got time to flip the cards or keep the cards. That's why this is a really cool remix. What does a wild do? In my classroom, the way that I have it structured is a wild doubles the value of the other cards. What does a reverse do? Ooh, it's a remix because it subtracts those points. What does a draw 2 mean? It means you literally get to draw 2 more cards. So basically, I am taking these Uno cards and doing what it says on the card. So for example, let's say that we had that 2, the 8, the wild, and the reverse. The kids are obviously not going to want the reverse. They don't want negative points. So they might say, you know what? Let's take the P. The P is wild. That will double everything. And they're like, yeah, let's do it. And so they're like, now we take the 8. Well, if you double 8, how many points is that? That's 16 points. Now they got 16 points. And they're like, you guys, should we take the S? And they're like, yeah, it's worth 2 points. And I'm like, or should we flip the S? Should we risk it? Should we risk it for the biscuit and flip the S? Because what if it's a skip and that stops our turn? What if it's something that we don't want? And they're like, yeah, flip it, risk it for the biscuit. So they take that 2. which would have actually been Far with the Wild. And they flip it over. And then what is it? It was actually a 5. So now they have 5 times 2 is 10 and 8 times 2, which is 16. So now that class period has 26 points. Boom. I would take that 26 points and I would put it up on the board. So now Team Baja Blast has 26 points. That's incredible. Now, again, if you are using just a standard deck of Uno cards, they would not know what is on the other side. So they can decide to stop flipping the cards and secure their points, okay? Or they can kind of press their luck, sort of like on the game show Whammy. So in that exact same situation where it was a 2, an 8, and a wild in reverse, let's say that they would have picked the S and they flipped it over and it was a 2. And they're like, yeah, let's keep going. Let's do the T. Then they flip it over. That would have been reverse. And now they would have had negative 2. If you're doing the Uno dark side, then they see the number of points that they could get, or they can risk it with the flips, which adds just another completely wild dynamic. So wilds double, reverses, subtract points, skips, stop your turn, and give you no points for the day. And this is just an accumulation of points for the entire month. Now, we're going to talk about some rewards, some incentives, like what do we get if we win? And also, what are you going to do if you're an elementary teacher and you're like, yeah, I don't have any points to compete with other classes because I see the same kids all day? Fear not, guys. We're going to get into those details in 1 second. This idea is just full of awesome. It is going to help in so many capacities in your classroom, and it's going to help you have 180 days of awesome. Speaking of awesome, in case you haven't heard, this year I am leading something called the Awesome Academy, which is a 4-course virtual PD series that is packed with ideas, videos, discussion questions, access to books and workbooks that is going to bring your teacher game to a whole nother level. All 4 courses are virtual, so it makes it fun, it makes it flexible, and it totally is going to fit your teacher's schedule. Not to mention, for the Awesome Academy, you can earn up to 60 hours worth of official PD credits for your participation and engagement. If you are liking ideas like this Uno flip to help you with classroom management, you have literally not seen anything yet. During the course of the Awesome Academy in these 4 courses, you will learn hundreds of ideas, not just from me, but from an incredible support system of fellow teachers from all across the United States. If you maybe struggled last school year and feel like you don't have your footing and feel like maybe you've lost your passion or your purpose, or maybe you're a new teacher who's looking to get your career off to a really solid start, I am telling you the Awesome Academy is the solution for so many of our teacher needs. You can check this out by going to monicagenta.com/Awesome Academy. That's monicagenta.com/Awesome Academy. And you can also find a direct link to get signed up in the show notes and learn more. Registration is going to be closing soon, but I'm telling you, these 4 courses are fun, affordable, flexible, and absolutely for you. And I know that you're going to have a ton of flippin' fun. Check out the Awesome Academy at monicagenta.com/Awesome Academy. Now, I know a lot of you are new to this podcast, and I know a lot of you are new to maybe the structure of my classroom competitions. I've got a ton of episodes on this podcast about classroom competitions. I've got a book called Game Changers full of competitions. In fact, that book and that course is part of the Awesome Academy that I just talked about. But in case you're like, what if I'm an elementary teacher and I'm not competing with other class periods? How do I do this? How do I make this fun? How do I make this engaging? What I would recommend doing is setting a numeric goal. Setting a goal that says, hey, if you reach this many points by the end of the month, we are going to celebrate. And I actually have data for you from last year because I did this competition last year. One of my class periods ended up earning 514 points in a month. Another class earned 709. Another class earned 605. And then on the very last day, this was crazy, one of my class periods went from 562, so like second to last, to 890 in the last day, because they were risking it for the biscuit and they kept getting wild and the numbers kept doubling and the numbers kept doubling. And so that is why I love this game, is a class went from being nearly last to completely winning the competition with 890 points. So if you kind of look at the span, it was between like 500 and 900 points. So what is a reasonable numeric goal? From my perspective, you're using Uno Flip, I would say around 700 points is completely reasonable. If you're using a standard deck of Uno cards, I think you're going to want to decrease that, okay? In fact, I would probably cut that in half, because a normal deck of Uno cards doesn't have the draw five wilds, which totally amplified the numbers that I'm talking about from last year. So if you are new to classroom competitions, it might actually be a good idea to just set a numeric goal for each class. Like if you have six different middle school classes or five different high school classes, maybe it's that they're not competing against each other. Maybe for your first classroom competition, it's just that you're getting their feet wet with the new school year and with the structure of classroom competitions. So maybe you're saying any class that reaches 600 points, any class that reaches 400 points can absolutely still win the award or the reward. Now let's get into that. What is the award? What is the reward? Like, what are they actually working towards? What's motivating them? I think there's a lot of motivation for kids to visually see these numbers go up each day, hopefully. There are going to be some days where organization is going to be a mess and then you don't flip the cards. Let me be clear. If they have not met the expectation, you are not flipping the cards. Because remember, as teachers, how do we have great classroom management? By being clear and consistent. If the goal was respect and kids were cussing at each other and they were telling you off, you're not flipping the cards. In other words, if they're flipping you off, you're not flipping the cards, okay? Here's another thing. If, like, it was organization, and half the class didn't have their assignments and their binders look like tornadoes, we're not flipping the cards, okay? You're probably flipping out, but we're not flipping the cards. So we have to be clear and consistent. It is okay to not flip the cards. And even with those values that I just gave you, 500 to 900 points, there were some days where those class periods did not get to flip the cards. And that's okay, because I was very clear and I was very consistent throughout the entire competition. But what do the kids get if they win? I think it would be awesome if we lived in a world where they're like pride and glory. You get nothing, just the actual satisfaction that you won. But I don't know if that's realistic. Okay, let's just call it what it is. It would be amazing if that was good enough. But I also am not throwing full-blown pizza parties. Let me be clear. Like, no way am I going to be throwing a Casey's General Store pizza party for the winning class. Because I don't think that's realistic either. That's like not monetarily realistic for me to do. So should we give the kids something? Yeah. Does it have to be like a donut party or a pizza party? Absolutely not. So what's the reward? I can't tell you. You know why I can't tell you? Because I'm not your student. I'm not your second grade family. I'm not your sixth hour science family. I don't know what motivates your kids. I don't know what gets them pumped up and actually on a mission to succeed and to meet your standards. You know who does know? They do. So they get to play a role in a reasonable reward. They get to describe to you what is reasonable. Now, when I say reasonable, I'm talking about time frame and also monetary value. Set a budget. For me, I try to keep my classroom parties under 10 bucks. Now, I understand that 10 bucks, that's, you know, we're teachers. That's a lot of money. But I also will say this. If $10 decreases the teacher stress in my teacher life due to an incredible competition, it is absolutely worth $10 for me. And that's for me. Okay. So I set a budget. And then I also set a timeline for some sort of activity. If they want to do an activity, I'm not letting them pick a movie because a movie can be almost 2 hours long. And for me, a 2 hour long movie is 3 full class periods. So that's not reasonable. So I set a budget. And then I also set a time frame. For me, the budget is usually about $10 or less. And then the time frame is like 45 minutes or less. If they want to have, sunny delights and they want to go outside and play some kickball, heck yes. If they want some Capri Suns and maybe an oatmeal cream pie and they want to play a game of Pictionary inside, heck yes. Like, reasonable rewards will actually end up rejuvenating your classroom management. I'm telling you. And so to kind of put this all together, it's about picking one expectation. It's about being clear and consistent about that expectation and posting it so kids can see it as a daily reminder. It's about drawing 4 cards at the beginning of the class period, putting one under the S, one under the E, one under the P, one under the T for September. If you're listening to this in October, you could do it OCT. If you're doing this in December, you could do DEC. If you're listening to this in April, you could do APRIL. Go crazy. Do 5 cards. There's so many ways to remix this. Instead of pulling popsicle sticks at random and saying to a kid, pick a number between 1 and 10 and cutting the deck, you could pick somebody from the previous day who is absolutely exceptional. They were a model student and you want to reward them being like, yo, Tony, love the way you rolled yesterday. Tony, you get to pick a number between 1 and 10 so I can shuffle those out and post those cards up on the whiteboard. So many very cool opportunities. It's called Uno Flip, and I genuinely believe it's flippin' awesome. You can do it with the general set of Uno cards. You can do it with the Uno Flip. I like the Uno Flip just because it's an added dynamic. If that's too much for you, don't do it. You know what else you could do this with? Just a standard deck of 52 cards. And here's the remix on that. Jacks, kings, and queens are worth nothing. What? That, oh man, what a game changer. Okay? Jokers, make them worth 20. Aces, make them worth 1 or 11. The kids get to pick. 11's obviously a better choice. Nonetheless, I want you to take this and I want you to implement this. And then you don't want to know what I want. I want to hear from you. I want to know what went well. I want to know what questions you have. My inbox, my email is always open. And if you are loving ideas like this, I want to remind you that you will love the Awesome Academy. Registration is still open right now, but we're getting started on this in early September. So you're definitely going to want to secure your spot so you can literally get hundreds of ideas like this and earn official teacher PD credit, up to 60 hours worth of PD credit by participating in the Awesome Academy. Don't forget to check out the show notes and go to monicagenta.com/Awesome Academy to get signed up. I am wishing you one great big school year. In other words, I am wishing you uno great big school year. I want you to know that the work that we do on a daily basis is absolutely making a difference, even if it doesn't feel like it. And I am confident that this school year can be our best school year yet when we try new flipping awesome ideas like Uno Flip. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so they are dropping into your podcast platform every Sunday night so you are ready for your commute to school on Monday morning. Thanks so much for being a part of the premiere episode of this season. I cannot wait to learn and grow and laugh and love with you throughout this school year. Thank you for listening, but most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.